Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
I'm not going to get into, like, you know, the different position groups, but I would think that going back to, look, these guys have come in here every week, and I know our record is what it is, but they come in here every single week during a hard season, ready to work, going out there trying to get better. And I think that's huge. That's part of it.
Gerard Mayo talking today about laying a foundation. I think it was Tommy Curran asking the question. He followed up with it, too. And Mayo was very brief today. Well, it wasn't today. It was yesterday. But he was brief again. It was one of those quick sort of, all right, I'm just going to answer these quickly in one sentence.
Laugh in the face of an occasional
Mark
reporter.
Daniels, yeah, asking me the same stuff you're always asking me. But I don't think he stepped in it quite as much. And he's trying to avoid that by just giving quick sort of terse answers.
Smart.
You know, which is what he should be doing, honestly.
Say less. I mean,
That's a good strategy for him. But with the foundation, they were talking about the foundation and the culture and sort of those things. And that was an opportunity, I thought, for Mayo to talk about the foundation and the culture. And, you know, these guys are really trying. He did say it a little bit there. Yeah, you know, everybody's trying and they're out there doing their best and the effort's there and all that. But there's not to breeze past that one when you don't really have anything else and any other accomplishments or any areas of improvement to hang your hat on, any of that stuff. Like, all you really have is the culture. That's all he really has. And I don't even know if he has that.
I don't think he does.
He probably doesn't. But, like, that's at least something you can BS your way into a little. You can't BS the record. The record's 3-14. You suck. Well, it's about to be 3-14, according to Drake. But, you know, you suck. Your team sucks. You're not a good coach, whatever. Are you at least building something foundation-wise? And he's not really even pitching that too hard either.
I didn't like that answer.
Yeah.
I didn't feel any passion, conviction. There was not a lot there. You know what it kind of reminded me of is when we mocked Nick Sirianni, his very first press conference. And he was like, we're going to have smart players.
Yeah.
And they're going to be smart. And then they'll be smart and they'll put that smarts to use as players.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I feel like that what he doesn't have anything to lean on right now.
I know.
And even he brought up, I think on Monday with Wiggy and the other woman here on WEEI in the morning, he brought up, you know, people are trying hard. Well, there was a couple PATs. They didn't really put their hands up to try to block it. But other than that, they were he's even pointing out, like, I don't know if we're all in on this.
Right.
It doesn't feel like they're all pulling in the same direction, rowing the same way. Kind of, they're a boat that's spinning in circles because they're a little out of, they need a, what's that guy that tells you how to row?
The coxswain.
What was that?
The coxswain.
Where is it?
That's the guy who sits on the boat.
Oh, where's Stiz? I like to make him uncomfortable and I didn't even get the look.
I know, I didn't get anything.
I like when Stiz, careful. Do you say that on the air or just in my ear?
No, I usually say it on the air.
Oh, okay.
The coxswain is the guy who tells him to stroke.
What?
All right, now you're really treading water. Like, seriously,
no,
guys.
No, we're rowing. We're not treading water. We're rowing.
Everything I just said is very accurate. I don't know what
Charles,
you're talking about.
I can hit the Charles with a baseball from here.
Yeah.
He's talking about the Charles and
the
what goes on there.
The coxswain sits in the boat and tells the men to stroke. That's what he does.
Got her. Got
or the women.
And
it could
women.
Be the women, too.
Don't
be sexist. Either tells the
anybody
men or the women.
Anybody can row.
To stroke. Generally, the coxswain's like a little guy or a little girl.
Oh, is it like a jockey? Like a, oh, yeah, because you're not doing anything.
Because
you're
sitting
dead weight.
And you're facing them and you're like just sitting there. Yeah.
Do they actually do anything?
Yeah.
Are you making fun of the size of the coxswain, Christian?
No, Jesus.
I would never do that. Me, personally, I would never do
because I was.
I'll pause myself on that one.
Yeah, you should probably pause. Because I was watching the halftime show at the Rose Bowl. Do you believe the guy with the conductor, that he is, like, a necessity?
Yes.
Really?
I think so,
You
yeah.
think they'd be a debacle
I think they could
if
play.
Wasn't
I
there.
Think they could probably play the song without it, but I think they look to him to know when
he
to come
keeps
in and
time.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, what?
He keeps the time.
So does my watch.
No, different kind of time.
Do you know what you're talking about? Because I know you play the guitar a little bit, and you were an R&B superstar and all that.
A rap superstar.
Sorry, rap superstar.
You could, Stiz, you could be an R&B. You could switch up and be an R&B superstar,
maybe.
Too.
Who knows?
So you know, like, they would be lost. It'd be chaos. If he fell off that little platform, what would happen?
I'm sure they'd be able to keep it together.
Yes.
But he is an integral part of the
I don't buy it.
Band.
I don't buy it. It's like the Patriots offense without Alex Van Pelt. If he fell and was, like, rolling around on the sideline, wouldn't Drake May just call a play and they'd run it and it would be no different?
No. Probably not.
Oh, I think it would be no
different. All right, back with more after this.
Okay. We go to the calls then. Screw you guys.
By the way, Twitch chat is saying, Andy, you'd make a great coxswain, probably due to your small size. I think that you would. You'd be good sitting on the boat there telling the guys to stroke.
Is that how you spell it?
Yeah. C-O-X-S-I-N, I think.
Oh, okay. That's not how it was spelled in the Twitch chat.
No, that's different. Yes, it's...
that looks like a dirty word.
It is, yes.
Or... an action.
Or a bar that you'd probably...
Oh, that's big in England.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bars that use that play on words.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that so?
Yes.
I was not aware of that.
Anyway.
617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phones. Tyler's in Salem. Hi, Tyler.
What's going on, guys? I'm honestly, it's time to move on from Gerard Mayo. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't want Mike Vrabel. Let's go outside the box. And I want to hire Cliff Kingsbury.
He's on my list.
Anytime he steps. What's that?
I said he's on my list, Tyler. Go ahead.
Oh, but sorry about that. Anyways, but yeah, anytime he steps into a new role with a quarterback, he did it with Kyler, he did it with Jaden. I mean, imagine what he can do with Drake May. I mean, honestly, clean house, AVP, all those guys, Covington, get out and hire and let him hire his own guys. You know what I mean? Go outside the box for once.
That's what I think, Tyler. I think whoever comes in next should hire their own guys. And I think even if you want to go a step further and bring in a new GM who hires his own coach and then the coach hires his own guy, I'm okay with that too. I'm fine with that. But it has to be somebody who's got a vision. It has to be somebody who doesn't want to just bring their friends in and have it be, you know, the Patriots and all our buddies and all that again. Or, you know, the 13th choice because the guy you hire doesn't have anybody in his Rolodex. I want someone that has, at the very least, offensive experience, offensive-minded head coach who's offense first. Kingsbury fits that role. There's a bunch of guys out there who fit that role. I don't know what everybody's Rolodex looks like, but that's a big start. That's a big checkbox for me right there. And after that, I think that there's really no reason. Maybe Van Pelt. I know people are saying, Van Pelt's getting set up to be the fall guy here. If that happens, that sucks. If they get rid of Van Pelt and keep everybody else, keep Mayo, keep Covington, that sucks. That's a stupid, sucky thing to do. But if the guy who comes in says, sorry, Van Pelt, you know, you did a good job here, but I have this guy I want for my offensive coordinator, I have this guy I want for my QB coach, and there's just no room for you, then sorry, Alex, you know, hopefully you catch on somewhere else. If they want to keep Van Pelt because he's got some experience with Drake May, then that's fine too. All that's fine. But whoever comes in next, it should be their choice. And they should be the one who builds the thing up and does it, and they should do it without the Crafts looking over their shoulder and meddling through each part of it, which is, I think, a big part of the reason why they like Gerard Mayo, because they know they can control him, and they know it's this thing, this agreement that they have and all of that, you know, that they set up years ago. And I just think that that's not a way to do business in the NFL these days. It's just not. Unless you want to be hands-on on everything, and I don't think they do. And they shouldn't, because I don't really see what the point of that is. They're not football people. Like, it's just let the football people do their job, bring in people that you believe in, do interviews, and whoever impresses you the most, hire them and let them take over.
So I have a developing take on Alex Van Pelt that I put on Twitter.
I think it is, yeah.
And it didn't get lambasted quite as much as I expected on Twitter, so I'm bringing it to the damn airwaves.
Okay.
So I've previously said I thought it would be smart and interesting possibility to retain Alex Van Pelt as the quarterback's coach because he's Drake May's guy. You and I have talked a lot about when we asked him about Alex Van Pelt, there's a very passionate, believable, genuine defense of Alex Van Pelt from the quarterback. So you might want to keep them together. Maybe I was thinking the wrong direction for Alex Van Pelt.
Oh,
not a demotion, but a promotion. Because in the last couple days, you know who has sounded most like a head coach for the New England Patriots?
Alex
Van Pelt. Mm-hmm. So you get rid of Gerard Mayo, you promote Alex Van Pelt to head coach, where he's the CEO. He oversees everything. He's the spokesman. He's Drake May's guy. but he brings in a play caller and offensive coordinator. I don't keep him as the play caller because there's too much for him to do as the head coach.
Right.
He becomes the head coach, brings in an offensive mind. He's probably got some other guys that he likes or could run the system, whatever, make the system better.
Sure, you can bring in Stefanski.
Bring in Stefanski as the OC. You're thinking my side of the street, baby. AVP as the head coach of the New England Patriots.
Well, I mean, he did run the worst offense in the league this year, so naturally you should get a promotion, I'd say.
Absolutely. Your guy did it once.
What guy?
Cliff Kingsbury got fired in college and took a head coaching job in the NFL. He was fired upward.
He did.
Also wanted to ask you a question. AVP aside, I don't think that's actually going to happen. I can't imagine that Robert Kraft is going to fire Gerard Mayo.
And make Alex Van Pelt the head coach? You don't think that's going to happen?
Seems unbelievable. You keep bringing up Cliff Kingsbury.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't Cliff Kingsbury's quarterbacks been Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels? Like,
yeah.
Is he good or are they good?
I don't think Kyler Murray's that good.
He's got a $200 million contract, and people tell me he's an MVP candidate at various times throughout the year.
Who said he was an MVP candidate this year?
Oh, various times throughout the year. There was a short stretch there where they were saying he was playing as well as anybody.
All right, well,
football.
I never called him that, and I don't think that he's that good.
I just don't know how good Cliff Kingsbury is.
I think Drake May is good, and I think that Kingsbury's good with good quarterbacks. And so you bring him in there, you give him a good quarterback, and I think you can get something out of that.
Never won anything with Patrick Mahomes in college.
True. He didn't.
Didn't maximize him at all. Andy Reid maximized him.
Texas, what was it, Texas Tech?
Yeah, Texas Tech.
I mean, what are they winning, honestly?
When you have the greatest quarterback that's ever walked the planet?
What'd Tom Brady win in college?
The Orange Bowl.
Okay. So, I mean,
he did.
Big deal. He won the Orange Bowl one year.
It mattered back then.
It sort of did, fine, but I just don't think that that's a great way to, it's not a great litmus test. He did very well this year with a good rookie quarterback in Washington, and I think that he's someone that has built up a reputation as good with these quarterbacks. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's just the quarterbacks are good, and it has nothing to do with him. I don't think so. I think that he has a good influence and a good ability to get a lot out of these guys. And I think that that's just something that, and who knows, you know, maybe Mahomes doesn't develop the same way if he had a different coach in college. That could be, you know, that could be part of it too. 617-779-7937. Let's take a quick break here as we're just about to go over. We do have a couple open phone lines if you'd like to grab them. The Patriots hold the first overall pick. What is this trade market going to be like? Also, there is one Patriot who made the Pro Bowl this year. It is not Drake May. It is not Christian Gonzalez. If you've been listening to Dan Ball's trending, then you know who it is. We'll discuss all that right after Dan Ball, once again, get you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Time Out Market Boston. Patriots returned to the practice field earlier this afternoon as they prepare for the final game of the season against the Buffalo Bills at Gillette on Sunday. Pats are currently 2.5-point underdogs. Three players did not participate in practice today per the Thursday injury report. That's Ben Brown, Christian Gonzalez, and Jalen Polk. 10 players, including quarterback Drake May, were listed as limited participants. The Celtics begin the month of January on the road tonight when they take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Tip-off is at 7:30. And the game will air on TNT. Boston plays 10 of their 16 games on the road in the month of January. Two players on the injury report ahead of tonight's game, Jaylen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis, they are both listed as questionable. The Bruins are back in action tonight as well as they head to Madison Square Garden to take on the New York Rangers. Puck drop for that one is set for 7 o'clock. Boston is 20-15-4 on the season. They're 4 points behind Toronto and Florida, who are tied atop the Atlantic Division. Jeremy Swayman is likely to start for Boston per daily faceoff, while Jonathan Quick will start for New York. And finally, after being postponed from last night, the final college football playoff quarterfinal game between number 2-seeded Georgia and number 7-seeded Notre Dame has kicked off. The winner of this game will play Penn State in the semifinal on January 9th. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Dan Ball. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons with Arcan and Hart coming up after this.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Tough question. What I would improve on, I think just playing the role of quarterback, being a quarterback in the National Football League. I've learned a lot from Jacoby. He's been a huge help of studying the call sheet and studying how to prepare and how to handle guys in the locker room, how to handle a huddle and how to have a kind of a voice and command. You know, even when I'm up here in the media, it don't sound, you know, timid or shy. I think I've kind of growing in that, that's been my personality, but I think it kind of took a while for it to come out.
It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. We do have a couple open phone lines here. It's been fluctuating over the course of the day as we move through the 4 o'clock hour here. That was Drake May talking yesterday about what he's most improved on. And he thought about it. He said, that's a tough question. And I thought he had a couple of answers like that that were very reflective. There was one where he was talking about what the team can do better and picking up the blitz and, you know, throwing into the blitz, things like that. He was pretty specific about that. I thought he was a little more general right there when he was talking about things to improve on. And in general, I think that there's plenty for Drake May to be able to look at this year and feel good about, and plenty of him to look at and say, I've definitely got to get better at this, this, and this if I want to take that next step and be the franchise quarterback here in New England. And the team has to help him, too. I'm not saying it's all on him and that he should be the only guy that is anyone expects anything of next year. That's not where I'm going with this. But I do think that there are certain areas of his game that he very much looked like a rookie this year. You know, there's a few areas where I think he's capable, I hope anyway, of getting out of that and being able to evolve and progress as an NFL QB. But I think all the people who were early on in the year, before he even set foot on the field, who were convinced he was going to be the franchise, that he was going to be the guy, they all still believe that. I think that the people who are a little more wary about him in his inexperience and his youth and just, you know, where he was drafted and all that other stuff, I think these last couple of games anyway, this last one in particular, has given them a lot more fuel than maybe they've had at any point this year.
Oh, there's certainly warts to his season, but I actually think it's perfect, whoever the damn coach is. I think it's perfect for that person because there's enough talent that you see what the end product could be, what the mm-hmm. potential is, but there's also more than enough mistakes that he can't rest on his laurels. He can't feel like he's arrived. There's no rookie of the year.
Right.
This is my team now, and you'll do as our or whatever. Like if he does anything other than approach it like he has to work harder than he's ever worked in his entire life mm-hmm. after this season, because AVP said it today. They're doing things now, and they're going to do things coming off the film from this year that are going to challenge him in new ways.
Right.
Right. Like he was talking about some pressure blitzes to get him out of the pocket, but also spies, some of the things they're seeing over the second half of the season. So if Drake May thinks he's good, if he starts to sniff his own you-know-what mm-hmm. and believe he's
You can say farts, I think.
I never know. Yeah. Never know what you can and can't say.
Stiz is okay with that, right?
No, farts, I'll let that fly all day.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We know you will.
Farts. Yeah, Dan told us.
Yeah.
That's the first thing he learned week one.
Poor Dan.
Those slices of pizza go right through you from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's perfect. You know those certain games, a team like the Celtics, where early in the season, let's just say, you know, you win by 15, but you turn the ball over 20 times,
right.
and the coach is like, perfect. I can ride your asses in practice tomorrow, but
yeah.
We're 1-0 with a nice victory. I feel like that's what Drake May is doing. He's 1-0 with a nice victory with plenty of warts so the coach can ride his ass.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think there's the Celtics are a great team. You know, he's a great quarterback.
Well, he's going to be a great quarterback.
I think someday he could be a great quarterback. I don't think he is right now. I think right now he is a good quarterback with a lot of potential. And in the draft class, I think he's third out of behind Daniels and Knicks.
So forget that. But I would put him first ahead of Daniels and Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Even though statistically he's
very far behind.
Stats are for losers. Bill said that once.
Right. So what are you basing it off of then? Vibes?
Eyeball test, baby.
What eyeball test? What eyeball test has he passed that Knicks hasn't?
I don't like Knicks. I never have.
Okay,
never
that's not anything.
Do you feel better now? And I know this is hard to always go back and assess your feeling or rate your feeling. Do you feel better long term now about the quarterback position, or did you feel better in 2021 at the end of Mac Jones' first season?
I felt way better at the end of 2021.
Really?
Way better. Way better. It was a better team. You were a playoff
team. I said the quarterback position.
Sure, but
none of the other stuff I don't care about. I'm talking about the quarterback that both are franchise quarterbacks.
I can't separate that. I can't separate those things.
Oh, I can.
I can't separate the way that maybe May looks. He's got some.
He's so much more talented.
He's got more talent. Sure.
He's so much better at the speaking leadership,
right?
Spokesman thing.
He's better at those things. Sure.
If I'm a 10 right now, because everybody knows I love Drake May, so mm-hmm. let's just say I'm a 10. I was like a 6.5 on Mac back then. Like, I am so much more all in that you have a real franchise quarterback, not a fabricated Mirage franchise quarterback like you had back then.
Yeah, I thought, and here's the thing, is that I think May is going to get better. I thought Jones would get better, too. I didn't think Jones was going to peak out in that rookie year, and then go completely down from there and just crash like the stock market after that. Like, that's not what I was expecting. I thought he was going to continue to get better. So after a rookie year like that, which was statistically much better than Drake May's rookie year.
Oh, sure.
I mean, there's no question about it. I saw that, and I thought, okay, I didn't love this guy coming out of school. I didn't even really love the season that he had in terms of, you know, what they asked of him. And I remember how they kept punting and kicking field goals at the end of those games instead of giving him the ball, letting him drive down the field. I didn't love any of that. I thought that was all sort of crappy. But in general, with him in that season, where the team was and what it seemed like they were on course to be back doing, I mean, it's hard to separate that from where they are now and what it looks like they're doing now. And the quarterback was a part of that. I mean, he was a rookie quarterback who had a great season, a great rookie season for a rookie quarterback, and was presumably going to get better. So I felt better then.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get marginally better. You're right. I always think everybody's going to get better with experience and reps. But I thought then Bill was going to prove that famous point where somebody said, give me the 15th best quarterback in the game and I'll win a Super Bowl. I thought he was going to be able to prove that with a very mediocre but capable quarterback. Now I feel like you have the guy to compete with the teams that are built around quarterbacks, the teams that are the Bengals, the Bills, the Chiefs, this modern style. I think you have one of those. Now, whether you will do it, I don't know. I mean, the Chargers have been living that life for 5 years now?
Yeah.
They've been living that life where they haven't really done it, and now maybe Harbaugh's the one that brings it all together.
How about the Cardinals and your favorite quarterback ever, Kyler Murray?
Yeah, but see, I hope he's better than Kyler Murray.
I hope so, too.
Like, but
I hope he's better than Herbert.
Me, too.
Yeah.
But my point is, just because you think you and you may even be right in the talent evaluation, doesn't mean it's the fast track to AFC title games, division titles, Super Bowls. As Ross Tucker said, you missed Ross Tucker, by the way, on Monday. It was a very nice Ross Tucker interview. We did a Tucker Monday. Yeah,
Tucker,
I don't know why.
Monday.
He just snuck his way in at 5:30 and we talked to him.
I thought he was great in that Chargers game.
He was tremendous.
I thought he was awesome in that game.
But he did.
I'm listening to him going, this guy's awesome. He's everything he said I thought was funny and interesting.
And did you see the tweet from Greg Aiello, the former spokesman of the NFL, saying, hey, Ross Tucker, you're pretty good at this. Maybe better than the guy on Fox they're paying all that money to or something. It was a shot at Tom Brady.
Really?
He's no longer with the league, so apparently the gloves are off. Apparently he doesn't like Brady.
I mean, it's not hard to be better than Brady at that. But
no,
yeah,
and it's
I'd
also
say Tucker was considerably
the expectations. Brady's supposed to be the best in the business, making $37 million. Ross Tucker's on the blended together NFL Network crew or whatever. What does he tell us? He does game six every week for CBS.
He's on the taxi squad.
He took a lot of flack from Chargers fans, he said, on social media, because he said, now Herbert just needs to prove he can actually win a playoff game. And it's true.
Yeah, right. Like, why would he take any heat for that?
You shouldn't, but Chargers fans are apparently sensitive like Patriots fans. But
I know there were Chargers fans.
Oh, my point is, you can have the quarterback, and it doesn't mean you're going to win playoff games or anything like that. But I feel twice as good about the Patriots and the quarterback position now as I did at the end of Mac Jones' rookie year.
Okay, fair enough.
You got the man.
Yeah.
You got the man. Not the man. You got the man.
You have a guy who I think has a lot of potential. I agree with that. I thought that about Mac Jones, too, so it's hard for me to really get there and say it. I think that May looks like he could be a better player, and he probably will be a better player. Let's hope he's a better player. The excitement from a rookie campaign like that for Mac Jones, that was real. I mean, I don't want to dismiss that and pretend like I didn't get swept up in that, because I definitely
did.
When
they beat all those backup quarterbacks in that crappy schedule in the middle of the year.
Hey, you face some backup quarterbacks this year with Drake May, all right? You face some backups and didn't beat them. Yeah, so, you know, it's one thing to say all that, but, you know, you still got to go out and win the game.
It's also kind of why you have the number one pick, because you let those other crappy teams beat you.
Absolutely.
Done, by the way, if you're tanking.
617-779-7937. Let's go to Rhode Island and talk to John, who thinks the Patriots should trade out. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you, John.
I just wanted to talk about Andy's plan. You guys were talking about Shedeur Sanders getting to New York. I have a way to get Shedeur Sanders to New York. You have the first overall pick. The Jets have 107. So, ready? You take the first overall pick. You trade it to the Jets for Garrett Wilson, Elijah Vera Tucker, their guard, and 107. You sign T. Higgins. And then you take Will Campbell or Calvin Banks at 107. You get two. You can't let Elliott Wolf draft a receiver. You can't. You cannot do it. So you got to sign these guys, trade for them. You're locked up. And if the coaching staff comes back, you only have 1 year. If they fail, you'll bring them back. You have Higgins, Wilson, and May for another 3-4 years. You can figure something out. What do you think?
Okay, thanks for the call. I don't think the Jets are going to do that. I don't think the Jets are going to offer you Vera Tucker, Wilson, and the 7th overall pick to go up and get Shedeur or Cam Ward. I just don't think that either of those guys, I don't think there's that enough interest to drive up a crazy price like that, because I think that's a crazy price. All Pro Bowl starter Is Vera Tucker, was he a Pro Bowler ever? I don't know. He's all right. I mean, he's a guard. You don't really need. I mean, you need help everywhere on the O-line, I guess. But
yes,
I'd focus on tackles before I started trying to trade for guards. But either way, I don't like that for two reasons. Number one, I don't think the Jets will do it. Number two, that's out of the top five. I don't want to get out of the top five. I don't think Elliott Wolf, assuming he continues with this, and if he doesn't, I'll reconsider. But if it's Elliott Wolf, I want him picking in the top five. I want it to be an easy pick. I don't want him to do a lot of thinking. All right? I don't need the scouts to get involved. Whoever's there, you know, you got your list of these are the top guys, these are the best guys. Draft the best guy. Get the blue chip talent. Let's start get this rebuild going. All right? Let's get this thing on track a little bit, because right now, aside from having the quarterback and one defensive back, you don't have anything else. And you just need to add some talent. And if you can do it through the draft, that's ideal. That's the best way to do it. That's the least expensive way to do it. I know that matters to ownership and everything, but that's where I prefer to stay if I'm discussing things to do with this first overall pick. I don't want to go outside the top five.
So,
and Elliott Wolf shouldn't want to either.
The Garrett Wilson part is interesting because he's obviously a first-round pick.
I love Garrett Wilson.
And he's very good. Mm-hmm. Now, you're closer to having to pay him a boatload of money.
Right.
You bring in the idea of money and finances and cheap, but it also eliminates their inability to assess receivers.
Yeah.
Right? He's already a stud NFL receiver. Although, if you add future first-round picks, I know who we should all be lusting after, Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State, who mm-hmm. looks like he might be the best wide receiver on the planet, and he's a freshman playing college football in Ohio, so I believe is not eligible for two more years.
Is that right? Okay.
I think so. You're really kicking that can down the road in terms of the development
sure.
of the position.
And hopefully he continues to be good for the next
two years. He'll be a stud. I am all
get hurt
in on
or
him.
Anything like that.
Oh, hurt
sure,
could be. But, I mean, did you see what he did yesterday? He is a freak of nature.
Yeah.
He's like A.J. Brown, big, fast, dominant. Like, he's a specimen.
Yeah.
If I can get him
Ohio
somehow,
State, every couple years,
it's
they have,
unreal.
It's just these nasty.
It was Garrett Wilson. It was
Smith and Jigba.
Smith and Jigba.
Yep.
It was Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, and I give them credit. They all always say, "You think I'm good? Wait till you see so and so." They always talk up the next in line. It's really become like wide receiver U.
Yeah,
although LSU's got a say in there.
LSU definitely does. There's other teams that have good wideouts, but yeah, it seems like every year Ohio State and LSU is just first-round guys, like every single
year. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So the trade again, I'm trading. They're getting the number one pick so they can get a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the seventh pick, Garrett Wilson.
And Elijah Vera Tucker.
I would consider it.
Mm.
I would absolutely
consider it. I'd consider it
because it's fast-tracking, too.
I consider it for Wilson.
Think about you now added a true number one receiver.
Yeah.
You made your offensive line better doubly if you take Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks with that pick.
Assuming that they're still there at seven. Right. Yeah, I mean, that's
a big
if.
I think one of them will be. Maybe, I think both of them might be. On my little theory that defense is going to bump up the board and offensive linemen are going to bump down is very much important.
Could happen.
They got short arms. I'm an expert on those.
True. 617-779-7937. Mike's in Framingham. Go ahead, Mike.
Thanks for taking my call, and Happy New Year.
You too, Mike.
I think Drake May should sit out this weekend. I think they need to relocate Gerard Mayo. How about let him be defensive coordinator? But he's proven to be a very bad coach who, when given the circumstances, plays not to lose instead of to win. The biggest issue is Elliott Wolf. Mm. You have to get rid of him. His philosophy stinks. He has no idea how to judge talent. And I agree with everything you said. I don't trust him to do anything. And I do agree with the previous caller that if you're going to trade the number one pick, not only do you want the other team's number one pick, but you want at least one starter for your team.
I think that'd be great, Mike. I know that's what the Bears did. That's how they got DJ Moore. And there's other examples of players getting traded, especially when it's the first or, you know, top three pick getting moved. Players get involved in that. It's not often, but it does happen. If that's the way that they go and it's the right fit, then sure. I mean, I'd consider any of those things. But I also would very much consider, in the case of Elliott, well, unless you really... Here's the question, Patriots fans. Let me ask it to you this way. How comfortable do you feel with Elliott Wolf wheeling and dealing the first overall pick and trading back like Bill used to do and getting value in future drafts that maybe he'll even be using, maybe he won't be. Who knows? You're kicking the can down the road. How far here? How comfortable are you with Elliott Wolf, who drafted Drake May and nobody else last year, and it's been a part of the team that had some very poor drafts, even in the Belichick years, all right, recently and even not so recently? How comfortable are you with him wheeling and dealing that first-round pick and then trying to make it work this year, make it work next year, instead of going for, I don't know, a once-in-a-lifetime type of player who plays both ways, plays 130 snaps a game. Like, that's sort of where I am with that. I do not feel comfortable with Elliott Wolf doing that. If there was another play, it doesn't have to be Hunter, but if there was another guy like him at the top of the draft that filled the need for you, which Hunter does, by the way, at wide receiver and at defensive back, you need help at both of those positions, he plays both of them. If there was another guy like that who seemed like a blue chip or two, I'd be saying the same thing about that guy. But there isn't. It happens to be Hunter. So that's sort of where I'm at. What makes you feel more comfortable? The blue chip talent or Elliott Wolf going out there and, wheeling and dealing and making trades and going back in the draft and trying to get value and all that stuff Bill used to do? It's a no-brainer for me.
So I have no faith in Elliott Wolf, but I'm not the one who needs to have faith in him. Because if you're thinking like that, you got to fire him.
Right.
You can't let him, because the draft is April 20 whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have already spent $130 million of cap. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you don't have faith in him to do the job, then you need to move on and find somebody that you can. I'm assuming the Crafts still have some faith in him to do the job. They probably have a few questions about whatever the hell he did last offseason and whatever he did last draft. That's just natural. Mm-hmm. If I were him, I'd lean into the excuse I made for him. Wow, we really changed the scouting system and what we were looking for late in the process. So the area scouts didn't really have a lot of time to get up to speed. That was an unfortunate timing issue. Blah, 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 blah. I would say something like that and say, with a year under our belt, we're all going to be on the same page. The coaches, the area scouts, me, we'll pick the right talent. We'll get this fast-tracked. But if you don't have trust in him, and that's a fair argument.
Mm-hmm.
I acknowledge it. He's had the worst year of anybody.
Yeah.
If you say Mayo, Wolf, AVP, Covington, the four, like, big hires, he's had by far the worst year of all of them.
Well, I don't know if it's by far it's been worse than Mayo.
Oh, I think it's by far.
It's been bad.
His signings suck.
Mm-hmm.
His draft picks suck. And his comments suck. Remember his comments that we, like, pre-draft?
He's been drowned out by a lot of bad Mayo comments over the course of the year, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
When he said it's a less hardo culture?
Yes.
That was a dink thing to say that brought Bill Belichick into the
equation. Well, I know that upset you.
You didn't need to say that at all. Remember when he told
us... No one insults hardos under Andy Hartzler.
That's true. Remember when he told us... we don't need offensive linemen. We have starting offensive linemen.
I do remember
linemen.
That was bad, yes.
Remember when he told us, we absolutely have the team to support a young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He has said dumb thing after dumb thing throughout the course of the
season.
Well, that
one, what's he going to say? Nah, this team sucks. And
we're working to support the quarterback, just blah, blah. Like, don't lie to us. He flat out lied to us and was proven wrong, even in the draft. Oh, we don't need offensive linemen. We're fine. And then he drafted offensive linemen.
Right.
He drafted everything he said he didn't need. He said he didn't need receivers. We got veteran receivers. And then he drafted receivers. He has said maybe as many dumb things as Mayo in less opportunities. He doesn't have to talk every week.
It's true.
Which is lucky for him, probably. And his actions were terrible. He signed Chukwuma Okorafor, who you benched in week one, and he quit thereafter.
He did.
I mean, that's about as bad as it can get to sign a starting left tackle.
Yeah.
Bill used to sign people that would retire, but they were backup Jags.
Right.
They were like journeyman, might make the roster kind of people.
Mm.
Your starting left tackle... You benched in week one and he bowed out. He quit.
Yeah.
He's like, life out without football is better than this place.
Yeah.
That's what he decided. Mm-hmm. He chose nothing over you.
I'm starting to feel that way, too. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The Pro Bowl team has been announced. One Patriot is on it. It is Brandon Schooler. A lot of people think Christian Gonzalez should have made the Pro Bowl this year. Statistically, I'm not sure that holds up. We'll get to all of that next.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Tungavailoa chased out of the pocket, may get to him. Brandon Schooler coming with some serious heat from the blind side corner.
Williams, pressure coming, laid it down he goes. Brandon Schooler got there.
WEEI Afternoons, couple Brandon Schooler highlights there for you. There weren't a lot of highlights this year for the Patriots, period, but Schooler had a couple of them. Special teams. He had that blitz where he sacked Tua, which you just heard right there, too.
Yeah. He's been part of the Longhorn package.
Right.
So you're saying he made this because of his contributions on defense?
I don't think so. No, he's a special teamer, special team Pro Bowl specialist.
They've had so many of those.
I know. One thing that they're continuing in the Belichick tradition is the one gunner who's out there just killing it every year.
And he has been good.
He has been. Yeah,
he's eliminated. Last year he was a lot of penalties.
Yep.
He's eliminated those. And I forgot what he was going to set a record for tackle. I don't know. I heard in Keefe's Keys. Something about tackles.
Oh, good.
Keefe's Keys. Very good.
Much better
than Arcan's scouting report. Yeah, I know they're very similar, but.
Ouch.
I'm just kidding.
Ouch. My pride.
Speaking of that, tune in Friday for the Bill scouting report.
We already did a Bill scouting report, so we'll have to do something else.
Oh, okay.
We'll figure something
out. Look forward to it.
A lot of people online mad that Christian Gonzalez, not a Pro Bowler. I thought that he would be in the mix. I thought that, I don't know how many votes he got, but he didn't get enough to be on the team. The Pro Bowl cornerbacks are Derek Stingley in Houston, Pat Surtain, Marlon Humphrey, and Denzel Ward were the four.
Mm.
Three of them deserve to go over Gonzalez. Denzel Ward did not. Denzel Ward did not have a great year this year. And I'm basing this off of the one stat that I think is easy enough to use to judge defensive backs by, and that's passer rating against. When they throw at the guy that you're guarding, what's the passer rating like? And for Gonzalez, it's not bad. He's 11th best in the AFC. He's behind Dante Jackson in Pittsburgh, Ja'Corian Bennett in Las Vegas, Beanie Bishop in Pittsburgh, Kamari Lassiter in Houston, Amani Hooker in Tennessee, Elijah Molden in L.A., Marlon Humphrey, Surtain, Stingley, who all made it ahead of him, and Kalen Bullock of Houston as well. Houston with a bunch of guys on this list, by the way. Houston has three guys in the top 10 for passer rating against for cornerbacks, which is that's pretty rare. It's rare that you see that, a secondary that's that decorated. But either way, out of everyone on the list, the only guy that was targeted more than Gonzalez, who had 88 targets this year so far, and he's probably not going to play this weekend, so it'll probably end right there, was Humphrey, who was targeted 90 times. And I thought that was interesting because Gonzalez's 88 targets were by far the most on the team. Marcus Jones had 65. He was second behind him with 65 targets. And that's crazy to me. Isn't that crazy? That they're throwing at Christian Gonzalez that much?
Well, but he's often covering the best player on the other team.
Right.
So, like, you can't just give up. If you have a number one receiver that you believe is really good,
mm-hmm.
don't you throw to him? Like, well, if you have Garrett Wilson, you throw to Garrett Wilson. I don't care who's covering him. I think my guy is better than your guy.
Right, but you also have Devontae. You know, there's a lot of teams have multiple players. You know?
Right, but my point is, when I have a number one receiver or a guy that is that good, I'm not just going to wave the white flag and say, oh.
All right, well, teams do that when they play against Denver and Pat Surtain's on their best wide receiver. They don't target Surtain as much.
And Surtain's better.
Right.
Like, I hate to tell Patriots fans, Christian Gonzalez is not as good as people think he is.
He's not good. As good as Pat Surtain, but the point I'm making is that Surtain's the best player on that defense, and he's a guy you try and avoid when you're game planning against the Broncos. The other teams aren't afraid of Christian Gonzalez in that same way.
Well, he hasn't made a ton of plays,
right.
is part of it.
Yeah.
That's also why your numbers are a little bit flawed. I don't love passer rating because it is so hingent, a word I made up, on interceptions. Like, you can sway that
with
the
picks.
Yeah,
that definitely helps, yeah.
So, like, if you get one pick, it dramatically changes the passer rating allowed. I think Christian Gonzalez, eyeball test, you know, you can make fun of me, I stick to my eyeballs, has had a really good year. Do I think he got snubbed? No, I don't think he got snubbed.
I don't think he did either.
And you're not getting the benefit of the doubt when you're on the worst defense on the worst team. You're just not. Without plays. If he had maybe had one of those years like Diggs had a couple of years ago, where you have seven interceptions, six interceptions, okay, that might sway it. You're on a terrible defense on a terrible team.
Yeah.
And you're in the mix as a really good corner, but you're not getting the benefit of the doubt. I also like how Patriots fans ebb and flow whether Pro Bowls matter.
I know. It's true.
Like,
now all of a sudden, he's not a Pro Bowler. Ah.
Julian Edelman never made a Pro Bowl. Pro Bowls are stupid. We all know Edelman's a Hall of Fame receiver. Blah, mm-hmm. like, now he should have made the pro. Well, why do you care so much if you think it's stupid?
Good point.
It's just a flag football game and dodgeball game. It's not even a real game anymore. All it is a trip for the guy to go hang out, hobnob with other NFL players.
It's just a designated. It's like,
right.
It's basically like all pro at this point, but not as important.
Yeah. But like all pro, people, I think, put more stock in.
They should,
all pro will get you in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
If you have a few all pros, people go, oh, he was a 5-time all pro or 4-time all pro. That gets you in Canton. Whereas Pro Bowls kind of get eye rolled.
Gonzalez was targeted constantly this year. I mean, every game he was targeted more than anybody else. He held his own for sure, and I think he had a good season, and I think that he's going to be a good player, and I think he's on his way to a very promising career. But there were better defensive backs than him in the league this year. I mean, it's just that's the way it is. Certainly in the AFC.
That's or the other good. Thing. You fall in line with these. You hear so and so is having a great year,
right?
And then they happen to be a primetime game, and you watch, and you're like, well, he's fine. I saw him give up that catch.
Right.
I saw him give up that. Oh, and the quarterback overthrew it, and he got a pick that was easy that you or I could have made. So there was a lot. That's the other thing is it gets swayed so much in the Jalen Ramsey, Marcus Peters era, like playmaking.
Yeah.
You don't see that they gave up plays, but you see the highlights that they made plays, and I feel like that sways the narrative a lot.
It definitely does. highlight plays and things like that that people remember and get plastered all over the internet,
Christian,
that matters.
Christian Gonzalez has kind of had a boring good year.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
How many really big wow plays has he made?
The strip sack touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, that was a nice play.
But like,
and he has, what, two picks, I want to say?
I just don't. He's had a good year. He's taken away the other team's best receiver more often than not. His biggest claim to fame, not flame, is Tyreek Hill loving him on Instagram.
Yeah.
Those two or three times he has put him on Instagram is probably going to help him get in the Pro Bowl next year.
And no one really ever had a great game against him.
No.
I think that's the main thing. Like, you can't point to one side, well, he had a good year, but do you remember when Justin Jefferson took him to school?
Nobody slapped
like
him around.
No one did that.
Like Ladd McConkey did to Jonathan Jones.
Exactly. And his passer rating against 71.7, which is not a good passer rating. So he's still a good corner, and that's, you know, top 11 in the league. And some of these guys, you know, it's probably swayed for one reason or another, a couple of cheap interceptions here and there. I mean, that definitely helps. But Gonzalez is a good player. The fact that he's not a Pro Bowler shouldn't really bother anybody. Maybe it should bother him. And I saw him post something on Instagram about it or tweet about it, you know, just like a laughing face. There's other guys out there. The only guy I think that made it that shouldn't have made it ahead of him was Denzel Ward. But if you take Ward out, then there's other guys I think should have made it over Gonzalez. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I struggle with the cornerback position. I think it's the hardest in football to evaluate unless you're actually watching most of the games.
Because
think about how quickly we go from so-and-so is the best corner in football, so-and-so is the best. Feels like every year there's a rotation of who the best corner in football is. Sometimes based on interceptions, big interception total. Sometimes just based on, I feel like, narrative. We start to hear national pundits talk about it.
I think Reeve has benefited from that for a few years.
Oh, absolutely.
He wasn't the best corner in the league.
Absolutely.
But people just said that because there was a couple of seasons where he was. You know?
I think Gilmore benefited from it.
Gilmore definitely,
it became, that's how he won a defensive player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit like Marcus Smart did. So I guess it's not just, but like sometimes that narrative and just the word of mouth, and it kind of grows and snowballs, and all of a sudden, yeah, that guy, he's definitely the best corner in football. How do you know? I don't know. I haven't really watched all year.
Yeah, it's a fair point. 617-779-7937. We have room for you on the phone lines. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment. When we return, the Patriots hold the first overall pick. What should they do with it? What's the trade market like? Will Elliott Wolf still be here? And how quarterback hungry are these quarterback hungry teams really? And how far back would you go if you're a first overall and you get an offer from a team that's out of the top 5, out of the top 10, out of the top 15? How far back in the draft would you go in order to move on from this pick, or do you even want to trade the pick at all? We'll get to all of that right after this.